I wonder if we could go back a little bit over some of the perhaps some of the one or two of the number sevens, since that was your position, really, wasn't it? Very much. I was thinking, for example, of going back to your era, Mike Longstaff, converted fullback.
Yeah, Wagger. Yeah.
It always amazed me. I saw him as a perhaps slightly ungainly fullback, and then suddenly, he just re-emerged as an extremely energetic and really very good number seven, and a very valuable number seven.
He'd obviously come from Aldridge Hughes, and he played a lot of games, I think, in the United at full back, on the wing, even in the centre. But he was a footballer.
Mm.
And number sevens a few years ago, you know, probably weren't the footballers that he was.
Mm.
And there was a opportunity for him to put a seven shirt on, and he took it very well, and he became part of a very good back row with Mike Teague and John Gadd, didn't
yeah,
he?
That was a
and,
great thing.
You know, but all of them, you know, anybody who puts a seven shirt on, you know, that it's a position that you have to deserve it. You know, the likes of John Haynes, even Dick Smith, Ian Smith, you know, Paul Wood. You know, the list is endless, isn't it? But Wagger was one of those. Well, is he going to make it? Isn't he going to make it? You know, and but he just slotted in there extremely well, and I think the combination of Mike Teague and John Gadd helped him tremendously, and he did very well at it. But he was a footballer, so he had this ability, and the game had changed a little bit, hadn't there? There was more ball, the emphasis on keeping the ball and playing with the ball a lot more, and he was able to get into that role and fill that role completely much better than the likes of I could have done.
Yeah, I thought it was one of the more remarkable things, the way Mike Longstaff reinvented himself, if you like.
He reinvented the seven shirt at King's Home a little bit, didn't he, as well? Because a lot of the sevens in before Mike, it was physical. It was about tackling. It wasn't so much about running with the ball in your hand and supporting your wingers. It was more of a physical side. But Wagner introduced a different type of seven to the club.
There was the contrast between sort of 10-man rugby moving towards, as you suggest, when Richardson came in to try and open the game out. Was that part of it?
Yeah, I think so. And the players helped, didn't they? The coaching helped, but the players wanted to express themselves much more as well. And I think that's a valuable thing, is the players expressing themselves and, you know, seeing what's in front of them, for want of a, you know, better New Zealand term. And we look at, you know, the Southern Hemisphere, and, I must admit, I do like watching New Zealand play, and because they always seem to be expressing themselves, and I think they allowed to do certain things where I think the English rugby game is a little bit stagnated. I think it's getting better, but we can see that by the scores that are being thrown about. But I think we've still got a little bit to go. It's still A, B, C, D, and then score. So why don't we just go from A, straight from A to D? But that's the way it is. That's the part of the game. The players accept it.
I was thinking of Mike Longstaff, I suppose, because to me there's always been a bit of a tradition at number seven with Gloucester. I mean, thinking of Dick Smith, who was unique, really. I mean, he was all over the field in a way that no number seven was in those days. You know, he was the sort of number seven, really, that you were talking about. The first, to me. And then, say, Mike Longstaff and Andy Hayes, or we've had so many good number sevens at Gloucester.
Yeah, you know.
And they've been major attacking forces.
side.
Been a tribute to the local, because every one of them that we spoke about, you know, are local players, aren't they? You know, Dick Smith, when he played, very used to be able to cover the ground very, very quickly. He was like John Haynes.
Wow.
He used to cover the ground very, very quickly.
Converted centre, really.
Yeah, very, very much so. You know, and then you're moving on, and you know, but
or your own background. Are you starting in the centre?
Well, Gilly used to say to me that I couldn't tackle fairly afterwards. But yeah, no, it's about the game, isn't it? You know, and the likes of, you know, Longstaff, Dick Smith, you know, John Haynes, Paul Wood, you know, Mike Longstaff, and Andy Hazel. They've all made the shirt their own, and every one of those players are different players, and they've always made that seven shirt something different to what it was before, which is a tribute. And you have a look at the Lewis Ludlow at the moment. I think he's potentially, I think he could make it. I really do, and I hope he does for his sake. He's a really nice lad. It's a shame he's got picked up a ban, but he'll bounce back from that.
He's got Welsh credentials, hasn't he?
Well, it doesn't matter, you know.
I'm just interested because
if you're representing your country, you're representing. It doesn't matter.
No,
you know, and I think it's great. And I think he could be another. He could be another in the long line of really good sevens that have come through the. Through King's Home, and obviously he's quite local, I think. Is he? He went to Harby, he does not come from Cirencester, if I'm right, or something like that.
Sure. He's more local than many.
Yeah, but I think and if you can remember, well, I can quite really remember learning about the game from my father, and stood underneath the clock, and he used to say, right, you know, I want you to watch this number. And I used to have to sit and stand in those days. I used to watch a number 9 or a number 1 or a number 7. And of course, in those days, Gloucester, if you remember, the shirts were round the other way.
That's right.
We numbered from 1 upwards.
That's right.
And that's how I learned the game, I think, from my father. But he would say, well, don't watch the ball, watch a player.
I first watched Gloucester when Ibbotson was playing.
Yeah, Derek.
Eric Ibbotson.
Yeah.
He was another player.
Another seven.
He was an outstanding seven. I mean, he wasn't a seven in those days.
No.
He flew around the field, always coming low. Frightening. I imagine he was truly frightening for the opposing outside half.
Yes. Oh, he would have.
He's my first memory of Gloucester, actually. Yes.
They're both.
1950s, that was.
Flying around and hitting them low.
Yeah, well, they don't hit low now, do they? It's, you know, the technical side is trying to dislodge the ball at the time.
Two
now.
At a time, isn't it? Something, one goes high.
One high, one low.
Yeah,
one goes high and now gets penalised.
Well, that's it, isn't it? We're seeing the laws and the interpretations keep changing, and it's a physical game, and you know, you've got to accept that physicality, haven't you?
Yeah. But they keep on picking on certain aspects of that physicality and penalising it, and then moving on. And nothing ever is consistent.
Never trying to mend it. No.
I think it must be very difficult for players to come to terms with the different refereeing approaches, and every season there's a different approach. It's an unreasonable.
And you get situations very definitely where one side has a rapport with the referee and the other side doesn't.
Mm.
And Gloucester have never been, in the recent years, very good at playing the referee, quite honestly. And I think that came across a little bit in the Harlequins game. Well, I mean, it was a game they frankly didn't deserve to win. But on the other hand,
I think there's two things. I think you're totally right with what you're saying, because we sat up in the stand, and after about 20 minutes. I was with Ronnie Etheridge, and I said, we're going to lose this in the last 5 minutes. You could just see it.
Mm.
And then as the game wore on, you saw, to me, Chris Robson had one of his best games I've seen him in the seven shirt. And Danny Kerr, they were just guiding things. They were in total control of their side, but they were in control of Gloucester as well. You know, and the way they were discussing things with the referee. I think that's one of the areas where Gloucester have lacked the fluency of a skipper with the referee, and especially understanding the rules and the laws of the game. And we haven't had one of those for a very long, long time.
And the turning point for me, I'm afraid, was the referee refusing to give a yellow card after five penalties. I mean, if ever there was a situation there where Gloucester psychologically would have felt, hang on, guys, is this chap going to be fair and reasonable? I don't know. But from the stand where I sit, it was a turning point. Gloucester didn't get the referee on side at that stage.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a point.
There's lots of little things, and there are lots of little sort of turning points. And I don't personally believe there's just one thing that turns a game. I think it's a combination of things that do turn a game. I probably agree with you, but he didn't even speak to the skipper, did he? About the continual infringement. No. So when that happened, you thought, well, he's not gonna bang a yellow into him anyway.
No.
You know, and then when he did yellow card, he got it totally wrong. Horwell was still on the pitch and he said so
anyway, there we are, that's water under the bridge, as they say.
Yeah.
Right, anything else, John?
I don't think so. I think we've covered most things. And thank you very much for talking to us.
No, it's not a problem. And welcome any time, really. It's a privilege just to come back to King's Own, really, isn't it?
And, well, it's been a pleasure for us. Thank you.
No, thank you both.